Son wanted to come up and preach tonight, but it's good to be with you tonight. Well, if you want to turn to your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, no, we're not looking at the armor, but a piece of that verse in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. I'm going to read two versions. First is the ESV. It says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm." Verse 14, "Stand, therefore." Now in the Amplified Version, again 6, 13 and 14, it says, "Therefore put on the complete armor of God, so that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger. And having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand firm. In your place, fully prepared, immovable, victorious, stand firm and hold your ground." Over the last several weeks or months, I've had some conversations with different people, believers, that once held to a certain doctrine, mindset, belief, but are now starting to question what they believed for years or even decades. And some just slowly questioning it, not leaving it. I don't believe questioning is wrong in itself. We have to have a question to give an answer to and choose, this is what I believe or don't believe. But they started questioning some very foundational things because, as to what we heard this morning, what they were going through. And again, questions will arise, but that's what is designed by God, as long as it's we're in His path, to strengthen us and make us firm in what we believe. Amen? I've always prayed, "Lord, keep me humble." That doesn't mean, oh, well, I just flip-flop into, oh, well, this says, oh, well, this says, oh, well, this says. Nor too dogmatic to be able to not be able to, "Lord, have I been wrong? Then Lord, show me." But until then, I'm holding to the standard and the truth that I believe you have taught me. And that was the people just questioning. To others that have flipped, you can't go any more than 180, but they have. If that's possible, that what they believed to now what they're doing. And I even questioned them. I said, "Well, as a believer, what does this do for your end?" And they're like, "I don't know." And it just so started making me question in this thought of standing firm. Are we standing firm? Our doctrine, there's so much. Truth is relative. Everything is relative. I believe in gravity. You don't. Okay, well, that's fine. It's true for you just as much as it is for me. No. Let's go stand on top of a building and you test your truth, I will test mine. And let's see who has that positive outcome. The left standing. Yes. I believe mine would be left standing firm. The other person's, not so much. But are we holding firm to what we believe? What makes someone forsake something that they've held in such a strong belief for so long? I see people, even ones that I grew up with and looked up to, that have left the Lord. And I don't believe they started with the intent to leave the Lord. They I believe, started, as we read in Pilgrim's Progress, they started on a journey, but something detoured them. Something in life that I think, if I look back, that if I don't let go of things, it's going to be harder when those challenges come or can take us away. But what makes someone leave? Why do people forsake what they perhaps once so firmly stood for? Well, one, they stopped holding on to it. I've heard people say, "Well, I'm on vacation, so while I'm on vacation, I'm not going to really hold to my diet, because I'm going to go out to this restaurant and I'm going to do that." And don't take this doctrine or this example too spiritually. But do we do that with our armor? Do we do that in our spiritual life where we say, "You know what? I don't really have to be so strict right now. Maybe I can watch this. Maybe I can talk about this. Maybe I can indulge in this, because you know what? I'm not out to war right now. I'm not in battle right now, and that's the danger when you're not in war. The chance of becoming slack is more likely as opposed to when we're alert. So don't take that too spiritual. If you're on vacation, you can do what you will. So why do people stand firm? Well, one of the reasons is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And as we just touched on, 1 Peter 5, 8, the devil runs around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, he's not omnipresent, but he does have his principalities and powers working for him. And they're out to destroy God's people, correct? Are you a threat to the enemy? Then, if you're a threat, you're going to try to be removed. We try to remove threats. As we do, so does the enemy. And I think they're a little more religious about their attacks. And perhaps the Christians are a little more passive. I'll put me there. But the enemy is running around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So that is one reason why we need, to state the obvious, to stand firm. We know he's constantly seeking. Does that make us fear? No. No, it does not. Concern and awareness? Yes. When I traveled, and I haven't done it in a little while, when I traveled to Central America, our hosts would often say, we are constantly aware. The nations that they live in, they always have to be aware of their surrounding. Who's following them? Who came through the gate? Who's ahead of them? Do I stop at this stop sign? They're always very aware of their surroundings. Don't hold those things out, because someone could see it and come up and take you, cut your hand off, shoot you and take you, kill you just for your cell phone. Whatever the case may be, they're always aware. Well, one time I was in Ghana, and across the street from where we lived, there was a hotel. And when Benjamin and I were there, I don't think you were there yet, there was a gentleman who, there are two guys that went to the bank. They were Ghanaian, I believe, and they went into the hotel. They had withdrawn some money out of the bank, $16,000. Now, they are from Ghana. I don't know why they did not know to keep it on their person, but they left it in the car. And they came out in the car, and the money was no longer in the car. The first one that we just gave an example of in Central America specifically, bodily harm, in that example, was the danger of not being aware. Second one is loss. There was loss because they were not aware. They know what happens. Someone was watching them at the bank. Someone cased them. They saw them leave the bank. They followed them and reaped the rewards of their diligence. Poor words to say for such a horrible act, but nonetheless, that's what happened. If they would have been diligent, if they would have stood firm, if they would have practiced what they known would have been wise, they would not have had loss. The enemy's walking around. Are we letting our guard down? Are we just, you know what, that frog that slowly boiled in that proverbial pot of water or oil that doesn't realize what's happening, doesn't realize that perhaps we are losing our standard? I think I've used this before, but it's a good example. Who here has watched a movie years and years ago, but then watched it again and was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I watched that movie. Something changed. And usually that's in a good way. Your position has gotten stronger, more discerning. But are we doing that in those other areas? We can be excelling in one area. It doesn't mean that this is across the board. But are there areas in our lives that perhaps we are letting go, that we've let go? Who is God looking for? He's looking for people that are standing firm. This is not a new message, but I think it's very relevant in regards to the day and age we live in. And so many things that are out there that can cause confusion and cause even the strongest person to start questioning if we are not being faithful to that which we know. And in Judges chapter 7, verses 5 and 7, it says, so this is a time when Joshua was preparing to go against the Midianites, and the Lord wanted to dwindle down his army. Would not want to be in that place that he was. It says, so in verse 5, So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, not Joshua, everyone that laps the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, him shall be set by myself. Likewise, everyone that bows down upon the knee to drink. The Lord, and then verse 7, the Lord said to Gideon, by these 300 men, you will be saved. So out of 10,000 men, the Lord said, I'm going to take away 9,700. Because of those 300 that maintained, and what I got out of this was a watchful eye. They didn't take their eyes off of what they were doing. They did not bow down their head and lose sight of what was going around, but they brought what was going to be nourishment up to them, and they could still see what was going on around them. Are we remaining diligent? Are we seeing what's going on around us? Are we paying attention? Or do we have a casual attitude when we see perhaps seriousness around us, because we hear about it all the time? The things that we're hearing, it's so sad, but school shootings, it's common. It's sad to say that, but it's common. It's like, oh, another one. As opposed to that first one, that's, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. And we still say that, but it's just becoming casual. Are we paying attention? What is our attitude when we hear about our nation and the rules and the laws that are being set in place? When we hear about the world, when we hear about the state of the church, what is our attitude? Oh, here it is again. Or what is God calling us to do? You know, Esther, she was just a girl that the Lord shone his light on, and she followed him. And when the situation arose for her nation that it was going to be destroyed, her uncle said, perhaps you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, perhaps we are not all called to go before dignitaries, but what are we called to do? Esther was. Esther was called to go before the king and risk her life. But her friends and her family, what did they do? What did the nation do? They prayed and they fasted. They didn't just say, oh, well, Esther, good luck. We'll find out how it goes. But they had a part to play. And even this message might not strike us because our nation is sick. And we've been sick a long time. And do we get a casual attitude? Well, when God speaks, when someone is bleeding out on the road, do you need the Lord to speak to help them? Do you? Not really. We're bleeding out. Now, does that mean that we don't do what we feel? But we do say, Lord, what are you saying? And then we move. The Apostle Paul, he moved north. And I don't remember the specific, but he moved three different directions before he said, go this way. And the Holy Spirit stopped him those other three times, and he stopped when the Holy Spirit said, this is not the way. But when he said, this is the way, he went forth. And I think I need to wake up. Now, what does that mean? It's different than what it means to wake up for you. I work in a secular financial field. Some of you work in a Bible school. Some of you work wherever you work. Some of you don't. But who are we contacting? Who are we touching? How is God using what he put us here for? And are we allowing him? If we are his feet but not walking, he's not walking. If we're his hands and we're not reaching, we know the song, he's not reaching, we're not reaching. God's looking for people that will listen, people that will observe, people that will obey where he's calling them to go. Again, the question, why do people stand firm? Truly, and the right answer is because they believe in a deep way for the reason they're standing. I grew up in Pastor Tucker's church. I can follow him blindly and be correct in the sense that I'm following doctrine. Is that healthy, Pastor Tucker? No. But how many follow leaders? Oh, well, they said so, and they're good. Praise the Lord, that is good. But do we know? Because when Pastor Tucker leaves this earth to go to his inheritance, where are we? And now what will I stand firm on? My foundation has been removed. Because God was not my foundation, Pastor Tucker, in this example, is my foundation. Who is your foundation? Is it God? And I think we need to go back and clean off the foundation from time to time and say, am I standing on the foundations of faith? Not a name, other than the name of Jesus? Are we standing on that foundation? We need to have a deep belief in what we are standing firm on. Not, oh, well, so-and-so said, Pastor Bailey said, someone on the radio said, so what? When you lay in your bed at night, when you talk to someone, do you say, so-and-so said, or do you say, what I believe is this? When people come to me for financial advice, they want to know, what do you think I should do based off of what I've told you? They want an answer. They want direction. They want guidance. And when we talk to someone, we need to be able to say, I believe this. That's where strength lies. When we believe in something, right or wrong, you can be wrong, be very dramatic about it, and someone will follow you. Not a good thing. Why we want to know the truth, be firm in it, and love it. Because we can be very firm in something and we need to be very careful and hurt someone, even if it's truth. We have to love them. Paul gave a whole chapter that if you don't do it in love, you can save everyone and do everything right. But if it is not in love, it is worthless. We've got to go out into the world and not say, you need the truth. But we need to say, you need the truth. And you have no idea what it's going to do for you. If you will accept it, hear me. I recently was talking to someone and I said, do I have your permission to speak truth into your life? They said no. And I said, okay, I will honor that. And I will honor that because I do not want them to feel like here comes the Bible thumper again. But they will know that I honor them and I will pray for them. I will not stop reaching, but I will be as wise as a cat and walk very sneakily other ways to help save their soul from burning for eternity. And the older I get, the more real that is to me, is that right now, Bill Bowers, Pastor Tucker's dad, hopefully, and many people that we know are walking in another place right now. Right now, there's a whole other world happening, and we will go there. Based off of what we've done, we will have that position and that place. But there's a whole other place where people are walking around right now. And we have to have a holy fire, I believe, lit within our souls. Or a continuing, or just a wind. I'm not saying, maybe you all are there and I'm just catching up. But we need a fire to breathe again in our lives. That we go out of here and realize, no, I'm not going to let this die out again. We don't start our own fire, but don't rest in, well, am I starting my own fire? Go. And if the Holy Spirit says stop, stop. But if He doesn't say stop, go. And let that fire, as we see all over the West, burn down thousands of acres. You ever see what fire does when it burns out something completely? Amazing, lush, green life comes forth. And we have to have a fire, church, lit in us. The church as a whole, I don't say just us, but we're here. We're not the rest of the church. But we need to be united. What does that mean? That's in every facet of our life. Not just church life, every facet of our life, living Jesus. That He becomes alive to us in a new and a fresh way. Not that He is before. Sorry, I'm on fire right now. But a new and a fresh zeal to go forward and me be the best Christian financial advisor that I can be. Because something is different about Jason. Not because he says he's a pastor and, oh, I'm also a financial advisor. But because Jason is different. Because of Jesus. So why do we stand firm? We have to believe it. There has to be something in us that says, I believe this. I choose this truth. Yes, I've heard it, but I've researched it, and I choose to believe it. Amen? We need to love it. There has to be something, not just believe it. Yes, it's doctrine, so I'm going to. But something that says, no, I'm going to run with this. And I see that this has merit, has benefit, and will give life to others. Because we have a dying world, and we have a dying church. and we need God. And I do not want to adopt, I believe it was Elijah's, that there are all that's left. No, there are 7,000 that have not bowed the knee. There are other churches, other denominations that are running for God. And we need to maintain our part that we are running for Him. Who kept their armor and stood, believed, and loved it? In Scripture, number one is Joseph. Well, one that came to mind was Joseph. In Genesis chapter 39, verse 12, it says, Potiphar's wife grabbed Joseph and tried to lay with him. What did he do? Did he think about it? Did he talk to her? Did he debate about it? Did he continue to scroll through his Facebook feed? Did he continue to be on his computer late at night? Her computer late at night? See, we compare this to Joseph. I've got no women running after me. But what's on your computer? What's on your phone? Who is pulling at you and grabbing? Are you running? We hear statistics, and I think of this, and I hope we don't have that mentality in the church. But if statistically, people in the church, I forget what percentage. Do you remember what percentage in the church has been touch porn or is addicted to porn? 80%. So if we think, and I pray that we are not a statistic, but we are a church. And if 80% of the church, we want to make sure that we are standing strong, and that we don't think we are absolved from the things going on. Joseph ran. Are we running? Are we running from the temptations? Are we standing firm? Joseph loved the truth. He did not need to stand. No one would have known. No one would have known what he'd done, and he could have had the most pleasurable life ever. Could have had a wonderful life, but he chose to love God, stood firm on it. Joseph stood firm. The enemy attacked, but he was ready. Because we're armed does not mean the enemy will not attack. He will attack. It's just, are we ready when the attacks come? So is our armor on? Joseph didn't fall because of his mindset. What could have Joseph done? Well, Lord, why do you have me here? This really isn't fair, God. I have been faithful to you. I honored my father. My brothers were jerks to me, and I still was kind to them. How could you do this to me, God? Now you throw me in prison. How could you do this to me, God? Now you leave me in prison for years. How could you do this to me, God? And if I believe, now he may have had those questions, but I believe by his actions, he quickly resolved those and answered, God's will be done. I know he's faithful. Because of his response to what came his way, he stood firm. If his mind would have been off on those other things, God, why did you give me this boss? Why did you link me with this spouse? Why are my kids this way? Why is my family like this? Why don't I have more money? God, why am I having this sickness? Why did this happen to me or my family? And if we get on that, I believe we start taking off our armor. Or our armor is completely on, but we're standing there like this. Just a target for the enemy to hit, because we are not focused. Now, should we still live? Yes. The people in Central America, my hosts, they still live. They still go out to dinner. They still go to church. They still spend time with family. They still go on, but they are aware. We live this life. We will wake up tomorrow, God willing, and live life again. And if you enjoy coffee, you'll have a coffee or a tea or whatever breakfast you have, and you'll go to work and your boss will be a pain or your boss will be great. Whatever it is, life will happen, but we are aware of what's going on because we're skilled. Navy SEALs, Green Berets, all the special forces and military are trained, brainwashed, broken down and rebuilt to know what they need to do when they receive an order. And when God gives an order, our mind is not, huh? You say something? I just don't know if that's him. Now that's a process, I get it. But there's really not many new people here. We should know this by now. And we should be going on. Me as well. We want to go on, amen? We want to go on and hit that mark and be those soldiers, those special forces, that when God says, go, we can go and be used. A small group of maybe six or even one sometimes special forces goes into another nation and does what it would take an army to do, because they are so skilled and capable to go in and go out and never be known that they were there. But what they had to accomplish was accomplished. Joseph stood firm because he believed it and he loved it and he lived it. Daniel and his, I put Daniel in company, his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they loved the Lord. And how is this proven? When you are away from the ones or the church or your foundation that taught you what you know. Christy and I recently went out to a business meeting. It was a dinner meeting, and a certain thing was offered to us, and no one was around. No one knows these people. I could have done whatever I wanted. But it was no, and it, this isn't a pat on my back or anything, but the point was, it's like, no, thank you. We're just going to have this. But no one was there. When no one's there, that's when we're tested, what we believe, what we truly believe. With a person and our own self, between us and God, when no one's there, we make that choice and we reveal, do we believe it, do we love it, and do we live it? Daniel said in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel resolved not to defile himself. And his three friends, when they had to make the choice to live or die, to bow before Nebuchadnezzar's statue, they said, though we may die, we will not bow. They made a choice. They believed it. They loved it and they lived it. Moral positions, personal beliefs, politics. Do we stand firm, or are we like just a wishy-washy something that is swayed by every wind of doctrine or whatever we hear? If we are not standing firm for what we believe personally, when we are alone and the person that told us what to stand for is not there, we will most likely cave. That's why it's so crucial in this day to choose to believe. Hopefully it's truth. Hopefully we're looking at truth, loving truth, and receiving that. But are we practicing that? If we were called to attention tonight, how would we be found? How would we be found? Is our armor on? First question, is the armor on? Or have we taken it off? I was listening to a story once, and it was just a beautiful place. This soldier was in, and it was a little warm, and everyone was so friendly around them. And the person he was traveling with was a senior person, and the guy was like, well, I'm just going to take my armor off and set it here. I'll get it when I come back. He goes, no, don't fall prey to ever leaving your armor. Have we? Is there areas in your life tonight that you know perhaps you've taken armor off? Do we have all our armor on? Are we using our armor? There's been natural stories in news recounted where people were fully armed in their defensive gear, but never did anything about it. Fully able to stop and enact progress, but never did anything. Fully armed. So being armed means nothing if we are not using our armor. If we're not using the weapons we've been given. Are we standing firm? Are we standing on that truth that we know? Are we standing on the Word of God? In our attitudes, standing firm, as we heard this morning, I will forgive. I will not act this way. I will not respond this way. Are we standing firm that, you know, when these situations arise, I choose this without question? Morally, are we standing firm? We have a, looking around, sex-crazed society. There's apps that you can get if you want to be with someone tonight and never again. Pick the app, pick the person, and meet. Those are the apps that are out there. Are we standing firm morally? Entertainment. I will not watch this. I will not participate in this. Truth. Belief. Now, don't forget, love. We have to deliver that truth in love. If they don't take it kindly, that's not our responsibility. Ours is to say it in truth and in love. Family. I will guard. I will grow my family. Time. I will not waste the time I've been given. We all assume, I think, tonight that we have tomorrow. We don't know. We don't know. We're not to fear, but we are to be faithful in what God is calling us. Why are you standing firm tonight? Is it because you've just heard it? Or is it because it's something that's at our core? Something we truly choose. We sing that song, I choose to believe you. I choose to believe. In Ephesians, in closing, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, 11, and 12, it says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. We stand firm, but not in our own strength. We stand firm in our Savior. And in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the attacks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and against the rulers and dark powers of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. May the Lord give us discernment. May the Lord give us a love for His truth, His word. Amen.